Good evening and welcome to the 40 Days for Life Hope teleconference and web simulcast event. We are so glad that you have joined us and you are among 2,366 people who have registered to participate in tonight's event. We are so glad that you received the call from the Lord to join us, and tonight you are in store for a real treat as we bring you up to date and give you some exciting news about what's going to be happening in the days ahead with 40 Days for Life. But first of all, as always, let's go to the Lord and thank Him for this time that we have together. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we again are just grateful that you love us and provide us this opportunity to stand in the gap for the unborn and for those women who are making life-determining decisions regarding the child in their womb. And Lord, we just pray that our testimony and our light would draw them to choose life. Lord, we are grateful that you have invited over 2,000 people to participate tonight in this event, and we just pray that this time would bring honor and glory to you, as we also ask that that lives would be touched even during this call, that hearts and minds would be awakened to the matters at hand and would be drawn to respond to the action that is presented and the requests that are made. And Lord, we will just give you praise in this time that we have together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'd like to encourage each one of you, before we get started, to click the gray button on the webcast page. That's the Get Action Guide button. You'll see that it's a PDF download, and we certainly would encourage you to print that out. Follow along with our call this evening. Well, you know, a lot has been happening since the fall 2008 40 Days for Life campaign that ended on November the 2nd. Your national team has been praying. We've been reviewing over 6,200 surveys. We've been addressing opportunities, challenges, priorities, mapping out focused strategic plans. We've been discussing plans with leaders of local 40 Days for Life campaigns. And let me just tell you, they are very excited. And finally, we are ready to publicly announce the action plans for 2009 and beyond. Let me just give you a little bit of an overview of tonight's call. You're going to have opportunity to hear from our National Campaign Director, David B. Wright, as well as one of our national team leaders and a local campaign leader, Sean Connery. Also, you're going to have the opportunity to hear from a special guest, as well as some of our heroic local leaders a little bit later in the call. We're going to be talking about the difficulties that we face today in the pro-life movement. 40 Days for Life is going to be offering hope in the midst of the problems that we face, and we want to tell you how that is so. We're going to talk about what 40 Days for Life is. We have many of you on the call who perhaps are new and don't really know what this is all about, and we'll be talking about the results of this sweeping grassroots effort across the country and now around the world. We're going to have insight provided by more than 6,200 of you who filled out detailed surveys, giving us clear insights and direction. We'll be talking about the specifics of the plans for 2009 and beyond, and you can't do that without also discussing the challenges which must be overcome in order to take advantage of the enormous opportunities that have been presented to us. Finally, we're going to talk about how you can help bring an end to an abortion. And we have a special surprise announcement at the end. So when we're done, we're hoping that you will have caught the vision of these unprecedented opportunities that we have. We hope that you'll realize urgency and importance of this moment in history and your role in it, to see how these plans can transform your community and ultimately our nation. We would ask that you'll prayerfully discern your role not only for you, but also for your community, to decide how you'll invest your time, your talents, and your treasure. You're actually going to have an opportunity tonight. No, you're going to have two opportunities. One, to make a one-time gift. You also will have an opportunity to make a pledge of ongoing support. And so let's begin by, first of all, talking to our National Campaign Director, David B. Wright. You know, David, our world has changed a lot over the last few weeks and months. The changes have been bittersweet, if you will. We know that there are some new difficulties that we face in the pro-life movement, and I'd love for you to share with our listeners tonight some of those difficulties, but more importantly, the hope that we can bring to the table in the midst of these problems.
Well, Carmen, thank you very much, and thank you to everybody, the 2,300-plus people who are joining us on this call and webcast tonight. It's an exciting time to be gathering together. Let me first address the challenges, the difficulties, before we go into the hope that I have and many others have. We have to be brutally honest and realize the hand that we've been dealt right now. And when we look at the landscape in the United States of America and around the world, we have to realize that abortion has now reached epidemic levels and has become the single greatest crisis facing civilization. And I believe that from the bottom of my heart. Abortion is ending more lives than cancer, than heart disease, than wars, than accidents or AIDS or any other single cause. But it's not only the 50 million innocent children that have perished from abortion in the United States since the Roe v. Wade Supreme Court decision. We also have to recognize that millions of women and men have been wounded. Hundreds of women have died from so-called safe and legal abortions. Thousands have been physically scarred, and countless millions have been emotionally or psychologically or spiritually damaged, and the same with men. We look at organizations like Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion chain in our country, and their last annual report documented that they alone performed 289,750 abortions in the last year. They took in for the first time $1 billion of revenue, and that's billion with a B. And of that, a third of it came from our pockets as American taxpayers, to the tune of $336.7 million in the last year. Not only that, Planned Parenthood, through very aggressive partisan political activities, just succeeded getting some of their closest friends elected to the highest offices in our land. I think most of you will remember that when Barack Obama promised that his first official act as president would be to sign the FOCA measure, which would abolish all restrictions on abortion through all 9 months, overturn the partial birth abortion ban, and would immediately force taxpayers to fund abortion, he made that promise in front of the Planned Parenthood Action Fund conference on July 17th of this year. And Planned Parenthood, now that they have succeeded in getting all the legislative victories and elected people they want in office, they're aggressively moving forward on trying to get sweeping legislation that would give them hundreds of millions of more dollars and would drastically expand their abortion agenda. Now, we look at the elections that just happened, and I realize we have people from around the world on this call, but the bulk of the people are here in the United States, and I need to address this because this is an urgency that even the people around the world recognize. In the United States elections that were just held, they were driven almost exclusively by economic concerns. But because of those economic concerns, the American public has now secured in the office as the president-elect the most radical abortion proponent ever to sit in that office. We also have the U.S. House and Senate that have shifted to large majorities of abortion advocates. Many state legislatures have shifted to become hostile or more hostile to the pro-life position. And on election day, every single pro-life measure that was on any state ballot in America went down to defeat. We have to face this reality. It's not a pleasant reality. But over the next 4 years, the bare minimum, much of where we at the pro-life movement have focused our energies in the past is not going to be able to make as much progress as it may have made in the past. If we put all our focus on getting people elected and on legislation and on lobbying and big advocacy groups and judges and legal efforts and even the Supreme Court, the very stark reality of what we face today is that those efforts are not going to be as fruitful as they were even just a few weeks ago. And that is going to be the landscape that we are in for the next few years. I've been getting a lot of year-end communications from pro-life organizations, and to be honest, many of them are just downright depressing. Because a lot of these groups are now realizing they're playing defense, but in their communications, they're clearly showing that they don't even know what they're going to be defending against and how they're going to defend against it. So this may seem like cause for despair, But I believe that all of this actually gives us great reason to have hope, and that's why that is the theme of this teleconference. And it's based on the scripture Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." The hope is that we don't have to abandon all of these activities that we in the pro-life movement have engaged in for 35-plus years. In fact, we have to realize that we have to be better at these things that we have done in the past. But we also have to realize the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. Well, if we keep doing what we've always done, and now the landscape has changed to make it even less effective, then we're going to have less and less progress. So we have to accept that, and we have to adjust our focus as a movement. And I think that's why we're seeing all over the country right now, as I'm traveling, as I'm talking to leaders, as I'm visiting different cities, there is a seismic shift going on in the pro-life movement, and it's because local pro-life efforts are more important than ever before because of these challenges that we face. Because local pro-life efforts mobilize people at the grassroots level, and they're making an impact where lives are at risk. Not a single abortion is performed in the Supreme Court, in the White House, in the halls of Congress, in any state legislature. Children lose their lives and women are wounded in our communities at these abortion facilities. And we can make a difference, saving the babies, protecting the mothers, helping to reach out to the fathers, bringing healing to the wounded right where we live. And we have an opportunity to do that like we've never done before. And frankly, we can make more progress right now than we have ever been able to do. And that is going to give people hope in a time where right now they feel like throwing their arms up in despair. And whether you knew it or not, every person listening to the sound of my voice, whether you're listening by telephone or webcast or you're listening to the recording after the fact, by you choosing to participate in 40 Days for Life, whether it was in 2007 or 2008 or maybe you just heard about this, but by you coming on board with this effort right now, God has placed you, I believe, in a strategic position on the cutting edge of the pro-life movement where everything is shifting right now. So I have tremendous hope. Carmen?
Thank you so much, David. What an encouragement for all of us. Well, our next speaker is Sean Carney. He's a national, one of our national team leaders. And in addition, he's a local campaign leader for 40 Days for Life. Sean, some on this call are brand new to this effort. I think it'd be appropriate if you could just give us a brief overview of what 40 Days for Life is and how it got started.
Well, Carmen, as you know, 40 Days for Life got started through humble beginnings when myself, David, my wife, and one other person were sitting around an old wooden table in Texas praying about how we could impact our local abortion facility. And we looked at 40 days for the obvious significance of how God uses the number 40 throughout Scripture, not only to bring about change in the culture, but to bring about conversion in the hearts of his own people through Noah on the ark. We saw Christ be empowered by 40 days in the desert. And so we looked at 40 days for life and chose three components: 40 days of prayer and fasting to end abortion, 40 days of a nonstop peaceful prayer vigil in front of our local Planned Parenthood abortion facility, and 40 days of grassroots outreach where we went to churches. We invited new people to get involved with our efforts, and I led a team door-to-door to 25,000 homes in our area spreading the pro-life message, which was extremely powerful in a town of only about 150,000 people. The result of that campaign, which was in Bryan College Station, sister cities, was a 28% drop in local abortion numbers. We saw 1,000 new people get involved in our local pro-life efforts, and we saw local pregnancy centers report an increase in the amount of clients they had seen during that 40-day campaign. But when the campaign was over, we thought it was just that. We were exhausted. We didn't think 40 Days for Life would spread anywhere. And after that, seven cities on their own at different times over the next 2 years after 2004 started doing the campaign, bringing it to their community. And I'll never forget getting a call in our office. David had moved on to Washington, D.C. to take on a national position. And a woman in North Carolina called me, a post-abortive woman. And she said, "Hey, I got on your local website, and I saw this thing about a 40 Days for Life campaign." And I cut her off, and I said, "Yeah, you should really consider bringing it to Charlotte. It's a great campaign." And she said, "Well, we did. We just finished it. Yesterday was day 40. And I remember feeling silly sitting in my office, but also in awe of what God was using, how God was using this campaign across the country. So we got those local leaders across the country who had led these independent campaigns on the phone. David and I got on the phone, and we decided to, for the first time ever, launch a nationally coordinated, simultaneous 40 Days for Life campaign, and the first one was in the fall of 2007.
And since then, Sean, there's been one in the spring, and now we just completed one. Can you share with us some of the results that we've had?
That's right, and it all starts with the fall of 2008. The one we just finished was the largest and longest coordinated pro-life mobilization in the history of our nation. We saw 76,000 people participate in this effort. 2,800 church congregations participated. The campaign was done in 179 cities in 47 states and two Canadian provinces, one American territory, and the District of Columbia. We saw 130 news stories across the country, and most importantly, 614 babies spared from the injustice of abortion. That is 614 babies who were scheduled to be aborted from September 26th to November 2nd of this last fall who are alive in the womb right now due to this effort. We saw post-abortive women find healing because of the powerful witness of seeing people in front of the clinic and having healing after 5, 10, 20 years ago that they had an abortion. We saw 8 abortion clinic workers quit their jobs. Dozens of abortion facilities cut back their days, the days they were open, the hours that they were open, just during the campaign to try to cut down on its impact. And on day 39, we saw one clinic decide that they would close their doors forever and announce plans that they were done as an abortion facility. One of the most telling things, I think, about this fall campaign is not only the reaction of the pro-lifers and the faithfulness that we saw out on the road, but almost more telling is the reaction of Planned Parenthood. They are the largest abortion operation in the country. They launched a national campaign to try to counterfeit the effectiveness of 40 Days for Life, and their latest fundraising letter, which was urgent, had written on the front of the envelope that relentless anti-choice extremists, which they consider to be you and I, are coming after our organization with everything they got. Help us to fight their post-election challenges. Now, the letter goes on to say that Planned Parenthood is under attack and that what worries them the most, and it specifically cites 40 Days for Life as one of the greatest threats to their abortion industry, to their abortion operation. The president of Planned Parenthood is Cecil Richards, who's, I'm sorry to say, from Texas, and she says, quote, "I can tell you this, the hard-edged, well-funded groups are coming after Planned Parenthood and are playing for keeps." And then she states the crucial need for financial support that Planned Parenthood needs to counter 40 Days for Life. Well, I can certainly tell you that 40 Days for Life is not well-funded. We are playing for keeps because this is a matter of life and death. And I visited 43 of these locations this fall, Carmen, and I know David went to another 51 cities. And the one thing that we saw in each of these cities in the eyes of the pro-lifers is hope. And over the last 14 months, when you roll in these 3 nationally coordinated campaigns, we've seen over 175,000 people participate, 204 cities in 49 states and 2 Canadian provinces complete the campaign, and we will sell out the one state. Everybody always asks David and I, what's the state that didn't do it? It is Maine. So if anybody knows, if anybody on the call knows anybody in Maine, get them to register. 300 news stories across the country and a confirmed 1,128 saves just in the last 14 months due to these 40 Days for Life efforts. So 1,128 babies confirmed and are alive. And David and I rejoice when we still get emails of pictures of babies who have been born just from last year's campaign saying, I went to have an abortion and I saw the people praying and this is little so-and-so who's a result of y'all's efforts. It's very, very humbling, and it shows that God is at work in this campaign. A total of 13 abortion clinic workers have quit their jobs. 3 abortion clinics have closed, and other countries have jumped on board, including England, Ireland, Brazil, Peru, and New Zealand. And 100% of these efforts and these results, Carmen, are due to the grace of God.
Right.
And they are also due to all the people on this call for their faithfulness, for their participation, and for their willingness to speak out for those who cannot speak for themselves.
It's so exciting. You know, it's great hearing the recap from you and from David. I think it's time for us to hear from a few of the heroic local leaders who completed the campaigns. And let's hear about the amazing ways that God worked in their communities during the 40 Days for Life campaign.
Hi, this is Mary Akre from the 40 Days for Life in South Bend, Indiana. We have had a tremendous experience with the 40 Days here in South Bend. During the 40 days, we had approximately 5,000 people in our community participate, including 500 who came out to our prayer vigil, which we held 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. During the 40 days, 3 babies were confirmed saved, and there were probably many others that we don't know about. There are many people in our community that are pro-life that just needed someone to say, "Let's do that." The 40 days provided a great structure for new people who just needed to know exactly what to do. The national team provided such great direction that we were able to simply put their plan into action and have success. We had great support from the Catholic community and had articles in our diocesan newspaper before the 40 days and almost every week during the 40 days. However, it was not simply a Catholic effort. Christians from all denominations participated, and a local African Methodist Episcopal Church hosted our midway rally. Business owners in the area surrounding the vigil thanked us for being there, as while we were there, there was no crime in the area. After the 40 days, we have also had tremendous fruit. People have continued to go out to their vigil site and pray. There have been 2 babies that have been confirmed saved since the 40 days ended. Also, our vigil coordinator and assistant director are now working full-time at our local county Right to Life office. They have brought new technology and new energy to the local Right to Life, and it's been really amazing. Our entire area has been galvanized and continues to want to be more active. I find it especially providential as we see the pro-life movement moving toward more local communities. Maybe we can't end abortion in America all at once, but we can end it one mom and one baby at a time.
Hi, this is Beth Bohannon from Walker, Minnesota, 40 Days for Life. We truly had a successful event that brought people from near and far, some as far as 3 to 4 hours. The population of Walker was only 1,069. It's a very small resort town in northern Minnesota. Nothing like this has ever been done in this community to bring awareness of the pro-life movement. It was a whole new concept. We set up a little white tent on the lawn of the courthouse with intense prayer and fasting. The community truly came alive with faith-filled people responding to the call. We had over 1,328 signed-in people. The unity of faith that came together was just absolutely phenomenal. It was very common to see different faiths praying together. Everybody looked at it as we were praying for the same cause, and we set all of our differences aside. So that was very exciting. Many people that came through the tent that shared post-abortive struggles that they had, now many in their 50s and 60s. Since our 40 Days for Life, we've continued to gather in small groups to pray. We have a crisis pregnancy center that's interested in starting a satellite here in Walker. We have also plans to do our own Roe versus Wade event with a prayer and a speaker, and we just got the approval once again from the courthouse. Not that they want us, though, but they have gone along with it again. They even did a background search on me at one point. It's been a very life-changing event for most people that took part in it, especially spiritually. The unity was just phenomenal once again, and anyone that came into our little white tent, it was almost like a little magnet. They came once, they returned.
Hi, this is Nicole from the 40 Days for Life campaign in Ottawa, and I'm calling to share with you some very exciting things that happened during our campaign and hopefully encourage you to consider doing one in your city. The 40 Days for Life has literally changed my life as well as so many other people. I've never seen anything like this in the pro-life movement, to see so many people in such a short amount of time be activated the way God activated people during this campaign. In Ottawa alone, we had 750 people registered and about 1,000 participants, and for us in Canada, with such an apathetic country that we live in, this was shocking. God exceeded all the expectations that I had and just blew me out of the water, as well as so many other people. We had three lives saved through our mission. We had abortion workers quit their jobs, and many people who were post-abortive found healing during the 40 Days for Life campaign. Since the campaign, we have a weekly presence outside of the facility. From 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., we have people praying, and we have some sidewalk counseling presence as well. This has caused a little bit of a commotion outside of the abortion facility, with the staff being very uncomfortable, questioning why we're there, calling the police, and just being really bothered by our presence. We realize that we're their conscience, so we're just hoping that more hearts are stirred, more people quit, and eventually this facility will just completely shut down. If you're feeling that this is something you may want to do, I just want to encourage you to just go for it and to really trust the Lord. I've really seen Him move. I know in our campaign, I just didn't know how it was all going to come together, and I just saw Him just put people in our path who had specific gifts, and it's just, we had a team in no time, and it was just beautiful to see the way He put us all together, and it just worked, and the people came out, and you'll see that if the people are ready to do something, they want to do something to see abortion end.
Hi, my name is Sabrina Burton Schultz. I had the pleasure of working with our wonderful coordinators of our Clearwater and St. Petersburg 40 Days for Life vigil sites this fall. We knew that this was going to be a powerful campaign when at the end of our fall kickoff vigil, a woman came up to one of our clergy and said that she wished someone had been there when she went into that same clinic for an abortion. Our prayer volunteers had the opportunity on more than one occasion to witness to couples who had just experienced an abortion. We have at least two confirmed saves, and the nearby crisis pregnancy centers witnessed a noticeable overall increase in life decisions. We know that this increase is due to the increase in prayer throughout our nation. We estimate that at least 1,200 people came to pray at one of our vigil sites, and many are continuing their efforts. We'll offer our fourth sidewalk counseling workshop this January. Please consider sponsoring a 40 Days for Life campaign in your community if you haven't already done so. It can change the hearts and minds not only of those outside of our church walls, but of those in our own pews as well. We also can't say enough about how accessible and supportive the national team was of all of our efforts. No question went unanswered, and we constantly felt the support of their prayers for us. Please consider supporting their great ministry with your financial donation as well. Thank you for everything, and God bless you.
Hi, this is Ale Baker from the Orange County 40 Days for Life campaign, and we are very excited and blessed with the results of our 40 days that we wanted to share it with you. And, well, we did a prayer vigil in two abortion facilities. One was Planned Parenthood. And we had over 560 people that we know about attend the vigils. This was more than 10 times the participation of last year, so that was a huge blessing, and that was thanks to the participation of 23 churches in our county. We know about 5 babies that were saved thanks to this campaign, so we were very blessed and excited to know those babies are alive now. We also wanted to share that during the campaign, it was day 39, I just got the correction, it was a Saturday before the campaign ended, that outside one of the abortion facilities, they announced space available, office medical. And we just couldn't be happier to see that ad in front of the abortion clinic, abortion facility. We know from the real estate agency that as soon as someone moves in, they're closing their doors, so we're just waiting for someone to move in. We know that as of today, they have cut their services in half, so we're just looking for another business to move in, and we're still praying for that. I feel that the national team did a great job orchestrating this amazing campaign. It couldn't have happened without them. I have two kids under 3, and definitely just, you know, without it, I couldn't have possibly joined to help coordinate this campaign. So consider participating. We know this saves lives, and I just wanted to share this with you.
Hey, this is Ben Clapper with 40 Days for Life New Orleans. 40 Days for Life was a great blessing to the New Orleans pro-life community. It brought so many graces to our community, and the pro-life movement now here in this city, which was strong beforehand, is even stronger now. Just a couple of the specific results from our campaign, including 12 unborn children's lives that were saved during the 40 days, more than any previous 40-day time period. In addition, we had 2,165 people come out and pray at the abortion facility during the 40 days. Such a great testimony to the pro-life community and how willing they were to be out in front of the abortion facility praying for an end to abortion. And it was 40 Days for Life that really united all these different people of different denominations together and enabled them to come forward and do this. And the national team of 40 Days for Life was so instrumental in making this happen. The resources that they gave us, the advice that they gave us was instrumental in this effort. I encourage everyone who is listening to not only take up a 40 Days for Life effort in your community, but also to contribute to 40 Days
for
Life.
Well, David, that was great testimony from many of the heroic local leaders, but we know that there were many more who sent surveys in talking about what God had done in their communities and in their hearts. You asked through this survey for input on where our effort might go from here. What was some of the response that you received?
Oh, Carmen, that's a great question, and I'm going to use this opportunity to encourage everybody once again, if you haven't already, to go on the page where you're either listening to this via the webcast or the recording after the fact, or if you have the page where you got the dial-in phone number to call in tonight, and on that page is the big gray button with the red arrow pointing at it that says Get Action button. It'll open up a 13-page document to follow along. You can either follow along on screen, or if you have the ability to print it out, jot some notes to yourself. I think that'll help you. We've already covered pages 3 and 4 parallel to what Sean was talking about, the results of 40 Days for Life, and right now we're on page 5 at the top, the survey feedback. And I wanted to first just give you an idea of the sheer volume of information that all of you have provided and how incredibly insightful that information has been for us. The fall 2008 campaign, at its conclusion, we asked people to fill out very detailed surveys giving us insight on not only how 40 Days for Life had gone, but more importantly, where this effort needs to go from here. 169 of the campaign leaders filled out those surveys, and 6,031 general participants in 40 Days for Life took the time to fill out an in-depth survey and submit that to us. Very, very valuable. You add into that the campaign surveys that we had at the end of the spring 08 campaign and the fall 07, and collectively, we now have data from 9,140 surveys from people on the front lines in every state across the union and numerous other nations, giving us the true pulse of what is happening in the pro-life movement and where this effort needs to go from. Sex. On the 40 Days for Life campaign itself, we got tremendous
welcome. Please enter your access code followed by the pound sign. Please enter your access code followed by the pound sign.
Welcome to the conference.
Please announce yourself.
Campaign again. And on the fall 2008 survey, 93.8% of those leaders said, yes, we will do another 40 Days for Life campaign. So you can write that in at the bottom of page 5. 93.8% said, yes, they'll do a 40 Days for Life again. How many said no? You can write this in as 0.0%. No one who just finished a 40 Days for Life said, we will not do this again. That is an amazing testimony to what God has done through this effort. And then the other 6.3% said, and I appreciate the honesty, they said, I don't know. The 6.3% said they weren't sure whether they would do it again. And some of them had conditions and why, but I really respect that. So when we asked those leaders, when would you consider doing a 40 Days for Life again, 51.4% of them said, we're going to do it again in spring of 2009, the next available campaign. 69.4% of the whole pile of leaders that just finished a campaign said, we're going to do another campaign next fall, and then 23.4% said other. And some of them it was, I have to check with my team, I have to work things out. So we already know that just looking at the spring 2009 40 Days for Life campaign, more than half of the cities that just finished a campaign are planning to do this again. That's a lot of cities right there. But when we widen it out on page 6 of the handout to the participant feedback from the fall 2008 survey, a couple of very amazing answers we got to questions we had never thought to ask before. One of those, we asked you, was this the first pro-life activity you have ever taken an active role in? 35.0% said yes. Now, if you take the 76,000 participants around the country, multiply that by 35%, more than 26,000 brand new people were mobilized and activated in the pro-life movement for the very first time in a 40-day period that just finished a few weeks ago. That is amazing. The next question, and this is one that should speak to every pastor or anybody who has a passion for ministry. When we ask people, did you experience spiritual and personal growth? 92.3% of the participants said yes. 92.3% saw this as a spiritual and personal growth journey. That is an amazing testament, and I don't know many church ministries and activities and programs that have that kind of spiritual and personal growth. I thought that was amazing, and I believe it's due to the power of the prayer and the fasting and people putting their faith into action. When we asked you, the participants in 40 Days for Life, do you plan to participate in the spring campaign? 59.3% said yes, 2.5% said no, and these are general participants, and that's fair, and 38.2% said not sure. But looking at just that, that was 3,523 people who said they do plan to participate in the spring campaign. Many of them indicated an interest in leading campaigns. We're looking at many, many more possible locations for the spring. Not all of these places will do a spring campaign, but many of them will. The second part, though, of the feedback we got was very different, and that begins on the top of page 7 of your action guide. And that was where we asked you about the greatest challenges that you face in local pro-life efforts, what priorities you have, particularly in light of recent election outcomes, and what help you would want from a national entity or national leadership on. It basically broke down the responses, and again, thousands and thousands of responses to go through. It basically broke down into three key areas, which I call foundational, life-saving, and organizational. In the foundational category, you told us that you wanted more basic pro-life educational information from Pro-Life 101 up through Pro-Life 401, going through basic up through more advanced education on all angles and all issues related to the pro-life movement, the intellectual case, the spiritual case, the scientific case. Not only the education, though, on what abortion is and the harm it causes and the pro-life message, but also many people are asking for help on discerning their role in the pro-life movement. Are they called to do this full-time, part-time? What area? There are many different aspects of the movement. What are they called to serve in? That was something we heard a lot of feedback on. Moving into the life-saving area, many, many people wanted to continue on with ongoing prayer vigils. We had one campaign leader that has now finished 4 40 Days for Life campaigns, and she said, you know, at the end of a 40 Days for Life, inevitably the numbers of people drop off, the enthusiasm just kind of fades because people think, well, I've finished my project. She said, we need to do something to keep this going 365 days a year. And when you think about what God just did in a 40-day period, what will happen when we extend these efforts further? And so people wanted help on life-saving ministry programs like continuing these prayer vigils for the long haul. And there are different dynamics to doing it in a sprint fashion during a 40 days versus a marathon long-term fashion. People wanted help with sidewalk counseling and reaching out and offering better alternatives to those at risk of making an abortion decision. Lots of people were interested in how do we get churches involved? How do we get pastors involved? How do we reach into congregations and get people involved? Grassroots mobilization, media outreach, and abortion alternatives. How do we offer people better choices? If we're going to say no to abortion, how do we help build the pregnancy resource centers? How do we help with adoption agencies and maternity homes? Those were some of the key things we heard under life-saving. And the third area, organizational. Many people are now discerning, do we, to continue this fight for the long haul, do we form an organization of some kind or do we not? Do we incorporate? Do we set it up as a tax-exempt organization? How do we do strategic planning? Do we form a board of directors? Things like building numbers of people involved in an organization, fundraising to enable these efforts for the long haul, communications, technology, and leadership. These were the kind of things we saw. So we knew from the feedback that people really had a lot of interest and excitement about the 40 Days for Life campaigns, and we had very clear direction on how to address some of the challenges, priorities, and help. Carmen?
Well, and David, it's obvious from the surveys that we are not done with our work. In fact, it appears that everyone is saying, what's next? So that's my question. What are the plans for 2009 and beyond for 40 Days for Life?
Okay, this is the first time I've gotten to share this publicly. I am so excited about this. If you're following along in the action guide, and I strongly recommend you print this out or at least have it in front of you on your screen if you haven't already, because we've got some great stuff at the end that you won't want to miss. But we're on page 8 now at the top where it says 2009 action plans. And because of the feedback that you, 6,200 people, gave us, we have two main areas that we are focusing on for 2009, and we are going to aggressively pursue because you've given us a mandate to do that. The first of those is 40 Days for Life campaigns themselves. And we are officially announcing there will be two 40 Days for Life campaigns in the year of 2009. The first of those, the spring campaign, will be held from February 25th through April 5th. That parallels the season leading up to Easter, the Lenten season. It actually begins for churches that recognize Ash Wednesday. It begins on that day, and it ends a week before Easter, 40 consecutive days. So February 25th through April 5th. And for those who are discerning, participating in the spring campaign, the registrations will begin on January 6th and go through January 14th. Now, I know some people are probably starting to sweat a little bit saying, wow, if I sign up January 6th, am I going to be able to pull all that off by February 25th? The good news is we're going to be giving out a lot of pre-training materials over the next few weeks, so you can already get started. You can already have the wheels turning, and if you have time over the holidays to be working on things, great. If you don't, it's no big deal. We are going to set up everything so that if you sign up January 16th, frankly, if you sign up January 14th, you can put together a successful campaign, but we will give you many of the materials in advance so that you begin to prepare if you feel called to do that. Also, we're officially announcing tonight that Sean Carney, who's on the call with us, will be the spring campaign leader. Sean will be the one running the day-to-day operations of the spring campaign. You'll hear a little more about why this will happen. I will still be very, very involved in the campaign, but Sean is going to be traveling even more. I don't know how he can go to more cities than he went to this time, but we're going to be working him really hard. But I appreciate Sean. He's an incredible leader, very gifted, and I know he will do a wonderful job. The second campaign of 2009, middle of page 8, will be the fall campaign, and the dates for that have now been established as September 23rd through November 1st. And again, that ends on a Sunday. We always want to end on the Lord's Day to keep this campaign in the proper perspective of whose it is. So these two campaigns, based on your feedback and the survey data and the momentum that just continues to build, promise to be bigger and more effective than ever before. We are stunned at what has already happened, and we can't even imagine what these are going to look like by the end of 2009. So for you listening right now, you have a job to do, and that's to prayerfully discern if you have a role in one of these campaigns in 2009 or perhaps both of them. Maybe it's to lead a campaign. Maybe it's to be on a team putting a campaign together. Maybe it's to participate in a campaign. Maybe it's to spread the word to other people. But prayerfully discern what God is calling you to do and realize that the national team is in the process of ramping up and scaling up to meet the sheer number of cities we're going to have to accommodate. We're also taking a lot of the suggestions we've gotten for improvement from the campaign leaders, improving the training, streamlining it, simplifying and unifying some of our online tools, giving people more templates to work with to keep it almost cookie-cutter simple. If you can follow a recipe, you can do a 40 Days for Life campaign, helping to build buzz and engaging more groups and churches, both nationally as well as help with local efforts and communication tools, a little bit of everything. Anything we can do to help make it easier for you so the campaign experience will be better for you than it has been for anybody in the past. So it'll be less labor-intensive, more of your time can be focused on the people and the results and the activities that save lives rather than all the tedious tasks. And the bottom line is we believe it will create more excitement in your community, more involvement, more lives saved, and ultimately more souls impacted. Now, the second half of the plans for 2009, and this is the brand new part that we are just amazed to see how much clarity you have given us about the needs for this, and this is the top of page 9 in your handout, is the aspect of educating, equipping, and empowering people to keep these efforts going for the long haul. Until no more women cry, until no more children die, we must press on. And so we are committed to do as we did with 40 Days for Life, develop systems. 40 Days for Life was one idea that worked. It had proven track record of results, and we simply turned it into a series of duplicatable systems that other people could implement and put into action in their communities. And you saw it just play out in 179 cities, of which many of them we never even were able to get to, despite our wishes to be able to do so. But those cities were able to conduct a successful campaign mobilizing hundreds, or in some cases thousands of people, because they followed simple proven track record systems. And we want to do that with more aspects of the pro-life movement, finding more things that can be done right in your community, best practices around the country that have proven results, collaborate with the leading experts, thought leaders, and organizations, and then delivering these systems to you, sometimes in person when we're able to do that through regional and national get-togethers, but more often delivering this in a real-time fashion using online delivery platforms. So that way you have access to this information when you need it. It's easy, it's quick, and it keeps our costs down to a bare minimum. And that's what we've done with 40 Days for Life. We have already, this began to be clear to us at the end of the spring campaign, and as we've been going through all the craziness of the fall campaign, we have already in the background been working on this behind the scenes, and we have invested thousands upon thousands of dollars in a brand new technology platform, a proprietary technology platform that is going to enable us to deliver so much of this in such an efficient fashion. So that way we can have a training that is made up of video tutorials when appropriate, webinars and teleseminars like this, and expert interviews and written training manuals and materials and checklists and templates and discussion forums moderated by topic experts and technology tools that can help with this, and even recommended resources. The reality is there are already wonderful pro-life solutions and ideas and resources out there in the world. A lot of people just don't know about that. And we want to find the ones that are proven to work, don't reinvent the wheel, and if something effective already exists, we simply want to let you know about it in one centralized place. One model that we will be using for some of these systems, we've already had a test case for the last several years. We've been able to kind of do some laboratory experiments and test things, and that's the site of where the first 40 Days for Life happened, in the community of College Station Bryan that Sean Carney was talking about. And the organization that started 40 Days for Life is called the Coalition for Life, and they have developed some of the most effective, proven systems to not only do a 40 Days for Life, but do so many other things that have impacted their community and made it a town that Planned Parenthood has labeled the most anti-choice place in the nation. And Sean, maybe take just about 2 minutes to share what that organization looks like in your community, the results you've had, and just help people to see what could be in their towns if they don't already have that kind of a thing.
Well, Bryan College Station, which are sister cities, is about 150,000 people total population. And since Planned Parenthood built their first and only abortion clinic here in 1998, we have seen an outpouring of over 60 churches to simply oppose that operation, to end abortion of the Brazos Valley peacefully and prayerfully. That's our mission statement, and that means close our local abortion clinic. We do it through the presence, the prayerful presence, and through sidewalk counseling. We have people praying in front of our clinic every single business hour that clinic is open for 85% of our year. And so every single business hour that they are operating, we have somebody out there praying. And on most of those hours are covered by trained sidewalk counselors. We train 4 to 10 new sidewalk counselors every single month. We've had Planned Parenthood kicked out of our local public schools. We've had Planned Parenthood kicked out of our local Chamber of Commerce. We out-advertise Planned Parenthood in local media. In fact, during the Super Bowl of this year, we're airing 2 commercials going after Planned Parenthood and exposing a health report. And so as we out-advertise them, as we have the peaceful presence in front of the clinic, we've seen a huge, overwhelming wave of community support. Planned Parenthood has canceled 2 local fundraisers here because they haven't had the support to raise money on a local level because of the consistent opposition in our community. And on the flip side, we've gotten support. We are supported financially by 95% of our donations are from private individuals, a few churches, but 95% is private individuals. And while they're canceling fundraisers, our benefit has grown. In fact, this past year, we had over 1,400 people at our annual fundraiser, and we raised $275,000, all to go towards our mission to close our local abortion facility. And so I just want you to imagine that. And it wasn't always like that. But we have tripped and fallen and learned a lot here. And can you imagine driving, running your kids around town and knowing there's somebody in front of your clinic praying when it's open, knowing that new sidewalk counselors are being trained, new materials are being printed to give out at the clinic to give girls options? Can you imagine walking into a room full of 1,300 or 1,400 other citizens from your town who agree with you on the one point that it is worth their time, talent, and treasure and activism to close their local abortion clinic? And so the awareness that the consistency of the presence raises sends shockwaves through your town, and it certainly saves lives, and that's just a fraction of what it can look like.
Sean, thank you very much. And to give everybody an idea, and I'm trying to wrap this up, this section really quickly here, from what you told us, we could spend the next 10 years trying to accomplish everything you've given us to do. And so we have to be very prudent in determining which things to do first. And so in each of the areas that I mentioned, the foundational, the life-saving organizational, we have prioritized, based on your feedback and the things that you've most frequently asked for, the areas that we're going to approach in 2009. And so in the foundational areas in 2009, we will be educating, equipping, and empowering people in the areas of pro-life education, fundamental intellectual foundations to get people a deep understanding and the ability to articulate the pro-life position, and the ability for people and organizations to discern their ongoing role in this movement. In the life-saving areas, we are going to be rolling out systems to help people conduct ongoing, long-term prayer vigils outside of these abortion facilities. We've learned a lot over the years, and we can certainly help those who have either just done a 40 Days for Life or haven't even done one of those yet. Sidewalk counseling, taking the best practices of sidewalk counselors around the country, and there are many, many wonderful sidewalk counselors, and there are some good teachers of this, pulling it all together and developing the most effective systems to help implement that in communities all over the country. Church outreach, media, grassroots mobilization. Those are some of the life-saving areas that we're committed to rolling out in 2009. Organizationally, helping you to determine different options on how to organize if your community needs that, either forming a new group or just building on an existing group. And a lot of the people who did 40 Days for Life did it under an existing organization and wanted to have new things that they could put under their organizational umbrella. Strategic planning. We have done some amazing test work on this and have some great information to be able to roll out. Building the numbers of people involved in your efforts, fundraising, communications. These are some of the key areas we're going to be focusing on, and all of what I just mentioned in the first half of 2009. So the rollout plans for this effort for 2009 are, number one, I'm going to be shifting more of my time and focus to these efforts because you've been telling us this is critical to ongoing success and to helping to end abortion, and so I'm going to be shifting more of my time and focus, hence the reason that Sean is going to be focusing more on the 40 Days for Life campaign in the spring, and we are actually prepared to begin rolling out the first steps of this, baby steps, in January. So we are moving aggressively forward on this. Some of these systems we're going to be beta testing in a few communities and then roll out nationally, but we are moving aggressively forward because we want to be able to do a lot of the heavy lifting for you. You may not have the time, you may not have the resources to pull all this together. We're going to do everything we can to help you so you don't have to reinvent the wheel and only give you things proven to work, make it simple, easy, keep your costs to a bare minimum, and ultimately help you to have more impact, save more lives, and again, impact more souls. Carmen?
Oh, thank you, David. But I have to ask Sean, you know, it seems like these are enormous opportunities, but to make them a reality, obviously there are some challenges that we have to overcome as well. Can we talk about that?
Yeah, Carmen, one of the questions David and I get always on the road is, how is 40 Days for Life nationally set up? What do we look like as an organization? I always use one word, simplicity. It's very simple. We have one full-time employee, that's David. Obviously, you can tell by how quickly he can talk. And he works in the corner of his bedroom. It's a nice corner, but I've seen it. It's small. He works out of the corner of his bedroom. Then we have three contract workers. We have a communication director in Virginia. We have a part-time administrative coordinator who lives in Indiana. And then myself, who lives in Texas, who helps with the campaigns. And then, of course, all the volunteers. So we don't have an office. We keep costs low. We don't have any bureaucratic overhead. We have a dedicated volunteer board of directors that keeps everything in line, and it is extremely simple. And financially speaking, we're totally transparent. People are constantly asking, how much did it cost to put on one national effort? And as we see these politicians who spend, of course, millions of dollars on a local and national level to mobilize people for a cause, we spent $91,784 for the fall 2008 40 Days for Life. 76,000 people participated, fasted, prayed, saved lives, and it cost under $100,000, which is less than a two-page ad in the Washington Post, which is there one day and then gone the next. You don't remember what it said. And so for under $100,000, this effort reached everywhere. And when you break it down, each campaign costs $515, and each location has a registration fee. The registration fee covers $197 of the cost, which means the national effort underwrites $318 that is left. So that's underwritten by the donors of 40 Days for Life. And David and I have constantly fought to increase the registration fee. It would be easy just to up it and make up for the income that way, but we don't want to do that because we want to make this campaign available to people because people are the ones that do it and make it successful. And so we have only asked people for money during this entire effort once last spring, and we got a great response. We had hit rock bottom financially, and we got a great response. So we have done all of this without asking for money except for one time. We've only asked when we need it, and tonight, of course, we need it, and so we're asking. And with everything at stake in the fall, this last fall, we wanted to leave everything out there, everything on the field, if you will, and because we knew what was at stake this fall, and we knew that we would have to get up on the Wednesday after the elections, and we wanted to make sure that we did not look back and regret. And that's why, to be very frank, David and I ran very hard, and we did everything we possibly could, and we saw amazing results that we reported here tonight, and we saw people wanting to build for the future through the surveys. And so, but the reality is that our resources have been depleted, but we look at that as God gave us an opportunity. We used it. We did the best with what we could, and He is simply asking us to trust Him for the future. And if we can raise funds right now, we can move forward on all these programs that David went over. We can meet the exciting plans that you asked for in the surveys. But if we don't raise the support immediately, we won't even be able to do a spring campaign without additional financial help now. And less support equals less that we can do for you, do for your community, and do for all the efforts that are ending abortion. And so that's why tonight we're going to ask for financial help.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Sean. You know, at the beginning of tonight's call, we promised you a surprise. And to make that announcement, I'd like to welcome our special guest, Carl Brown with the Sanctity of Life Foundation. Welcome, Carl.
Thank you very much. And I just want to make sure, can you hear me?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, great. You know, I just want to share a couple of observations because I didn't get out to as many sites as David and Sean did, but I'm just in awe of the results of 40 Days for Life, and I think of, there's a couple of movies that kind of stick out in my mind that show, you know, pivotal moments in history. One is Amazing Grace, and another one is Charlie Wilson's War, and they both showed kind of how great efforts were made behind the scenes, and they were both stories of things, situations where great people stood up, you know, and did something that was maybe unpopular but they made a difference. And it was one or two or people or five or ten people, but here we're talking about an opportunity for thousands of people to make a difference. And you know, just share a couple of those stories. One site that I got to, a 40 Days site, there was a gentleman there by the name of Roy, and I won't mention what city it was or his last name, but Roy was he was out there many days of the 40 Days for Life, and I was talking with him, and he shared something with me that really hit home. And he was there actually more than just 40 days. He's a regular sight to see in front of the clinic there. 40 babies have been named after him because of what he has done, just to stand there in front of the clinic and bear witness and share with women that come there. 40 babies have been named after him that he has saved. Just amazing. And another story is here in where I live in Cincinnati, we took the kids from the grade school. It was actually 6th, 7th, and 8th grade where my kids go, and we went to a 40 Days for Life site. And I want to tell you, it just left an impression on all of those kids forever. We'll never have to worry about teaching them that unborn babies are humans. You know, they saw with their own eyes what's happening there. And that's what 40 Days for Life is. It's just an opportunity to make a difference. It's not just something for 4, 5, 10 people to make a difference on something like in the story Amazing Grace. It's something that tens of thousands of us, and it's going to take that many of us, quite frankly, that we can make a difference, and we can make that difference together. And so tonight, looking at the amazing results of 40 Days for Life, the hope that is present for us as we look at 2009, we have secured four matching donors who have put up a match for tonight's call, where what they're saying is, despite the bad economy that they're facing, and sacrificially, they're putting together $48,200 is what we put together as a matching gift. Now, this is a sacrifice for these individuals. A lot of these individuals lost, tens and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars in the economy in the last several months. But they see the fruit of 40 Days for Life. They see the opportunity, and they want to have the greatest impact of their investment. And they want to encourage others as well. They see the potential of this army of 70,000 people, and they want to make a difference. So they're offering an opportunity for you. And David, this is probably the best investment anyone can make in today's economy. You get 100% return on your investment right here tonight. If you make an investment in 40 Days for Life, it's going to be automatically matched dollar for dollar up to $48,200. I think about this is there's three types of people in the world. And Homer Simpson says three types of people are those who understand math and those who don't, right? But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the three types of people are those who make the first group is those who make things happen. The second are people who watch things happen, and the third are those who wonder what happened. And with this matching challenge tonight, we're giving you an opportunity that these four donors are giving you an opportunity to be a part of something big. They're giving you an opportunity to make a difference. They're giving you a chance to move out of the group of people who watch things happen or wonder what happened, and to be a part of the group of people who make things happen. So that, whenever a movie is made about this and overcoming this injustice in America, and I don't know what they'll call it, and it won't be David B. Wright's war. It'll be America's war. It'll be a story of Amazing Grace, but it'll be a story where those of you on the call, those 2,000 some of you who are registered, have an opportunity to make a difference. Every gift over the next 72 hours that come in as a result of this call will be doubled up to $48,200. We mentioned that there's two opportunities today, both one-time gifts and those ever-important monthly gifts. We'll take them at an annualized rate, so that if you're given $83 a month and that ends up being $1,000 for the year, that $1,000 is what will be matched. And again, these donors, their hope is that this will encourage you to partner with 40 Days for Life, and that we'll take this hope to a new level. And I just want to say, David, really, just selfishly, what we're offering people the chance to do is to make my job easier, because what this will do, when people do participate in this challenge, it'll give me the opportunity to go out to other people these same people who can make, $10,000, $50,000 gifts, and it'll make it all that much easier to make the case for that support in the future. Because remember, we're not working with a budget that Planned Parenthood has $100 billion. Sean just said 40 Days for Life worked on a budget of $91,000. So this is a chance for you tonight, and I just ask you all, move out of the category of people who wonder what happened or watch things happen. You actually already are in, at least in the category of watching things happen, but join with us tonight and make something happen. Sean, can you walk us through the details on that?
Absolutely. We can go through one-time gifts. And David and I have been ecstatic during this call because even during the call, we have seen so many of you put in donations before we even got to this part, and it's so awesome to see. And one thing that I want to do, I want to point you to a certain page in our handout guide. When you look under one-time gifts, because I know some of you got on this call and you may have had a preconceived number of what you wanted to give tonight. And I ask you to do one thing before you start clicking away. Put aside that number and look at how God is using this effort in a nation that is starving for Him. And on page 12, under the one-time gift, you'll see a picture. I'm not pointing you to this because it's a picture of me. It's where I am. You'll see me. You'll see Alejandra, who's the local Orange County 40 Days for Life leader. You'll see her wonderful husband. And you see that sign that says space available. This is just a summary of what God can do when faithful people take action and take Him to where these babies are being killed. And this is one of the most liberal places in America where abortion is legal, abortion is accepted, and abortion is promoted, and abortion is ending, quite frankly. And that clinic is closed, and that is a wonderful picture. And so I ask you to imagine yourself in that picture. Imagine your town. This can happen. This does happen, and the picture is proof of that. And so remember that what this campaign does is bring hope to the most hopeless place in America and in your community, which is your local abortion clinic. And 40 Days for Life is successful because of prayer. And tonight we are asking you for your prayers, we're asking for your support, and we're asking for your money. And as Carl said, everything that you give tonight in the next 72 hours is doubled. Up to $48,200. And so, and he's right, this is a great investment, and I don't have to make that argument at all. But what we're going to do before we do anything and before we click the one-time gift button is just take it to prayer and remind ourselves of how we ended up at this point. So I ask all of you to bow your heads just for a moment. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of life and the ability to come on this call. We are here because of you. We are here because you have worked in our life and in our hearts. We pray for all women across our nation who today found out that they were pregnant and are considering abortion. We pray for the hearts and minds of everybody on this call that you use us and that you reveal the reason you have us here tonight and that you give us the courage, the faith, and the love to take you to the ends of the earth and to take you to the most hopeless places in our country. We thank you for the gift of 40 Days for Life, and we ask your blessing over this and future campaigns. At this time, you can look under one-time gift in your handout on page 12, and you can either click donate online or on the webcast homepage, you can click on make a one-time donation. And when you click on make a one-time donation, all of the amounts come up. And for some of you, you can make a $10,000 gift. Others of you can make a $1,000 gift. Some of you, $250. But whatever the amount, take it to prayer, and when you click on that amount, you can make it online, or you can hit the Click Here button if you want to mail it in. And if you mail it in, all donations will be matched through the 72 hours as long as it's postdated by Friday at midnight Pacific time. And so the 72 hours counts if you do want to mail it in, so you would just click on that and fill out the form. If you want to donate online, just click your amount online. And when you do that, you will see the screen come up. I had problems with this afternoon. If you're having problems when you click your amount, simply hit Control on your keyboard and click your mouse. So if it's not coming up for some reason, when you click on $100 or $50 or $10,000, hit your Control key and then click your mouse and it'll come up. And you immediately see your donation pop up there, and you hit checkout, and at checkout, you fill in your name, your first name, your last name. All of the fields that are required are in bold. So your name, your phone number, your email. I just ask you to go through that, fill out your information, And make sure you include your city, your zip code, and your state. And then at the bottom, you will see the credit card information for the online gifts. And so you put in your credit card number, what type of card, and then, of course, your card number. We have plenty of time for you to fill all this information out. And you have to make sure you put in your card number, your type of card, and then the name that appears on the card. And then your expiration date, just like anything else. And this is the final screen. Once you hit submit order, your donation will immediately go to 40 Days for Life. And so it's very simple. Once you go down and enter your name, your address, your phone number, your email, and then what type of card, your card number, your expiration date, the amount that you chose in the previous screen will be submitted. When you click on submit order, I'm now doing, and you would have made your donation to 40 Days for Life. And if you choose to mail it in, you simply click on that form, print it off, fill it out just as you would online, and then mail it in. Don't sweat it. You can mail it in over the next 72 hours. Just make sure you get it in the mail before the end of the business day on Friday, and we'll see the postmark, and we'll apply the matching gift to that. So every donation is matched dollar for dollar up to $48,200. And we thank you very much for all those that are making one-time gifts. We do have two opportunities for you to give as well, the one-time gift that you just gave, and also a monthly donation. Carmen?
Absolutely. And, Sean, it's just so exciting to know that even as we are speaking, there are those who right now are being led by the Lord to make a generous gift to this important cause. And as Carl mentioned earlier, David, those monthly gifts are very important as well. Talk a little bit about just how important they are.
Well, Carmen, I just want to acknowledge a few of the people that, I mean, the donations are pouring in, and I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you. You have no idea what it means to see that we are a team together, that your faithfulness and our willingness to work and do the things you've told us to do can just change history. And I really believe that what we are about is literally changing history. So I want to thank Jennifer in Centerville, Ohio, for your donation, Robert in Mishawaka, Indiana, John in North Andover, Massachusetts, Thomas in Louisville, Kentucky, Lynn in Burleson, Texas, Eileen Smith in Orlando, Florida, Sarah Albert, Bennett, Colorado, James in Duluth, Minnesota, Rob in North Wilkesboro, North Carolina, Sharon in Key Largo, Florida, John Dallas in Arlington, Georgia, Elsa Rose in Leesburg, Virginia, Kathleen in Hopkins, Minnesota, Lawrence in Lawrence, Michigan. Oh, that's great. Your name is the same as your city. Ellen Stanford, good friend up in the Buffalo, New York area. Keith in Fort Mill, South Carolina. David in Victoria, Texas. Stanley in Amherst, New York. I mean, I can't even keep up with them. They're coming in. Thank you to all of you. And I also want to thank, there's a little heroic group of people that many of you don't even know about. They are unsung heroes. And it's the group of people who, since that spring event we had, have been faithfully contributing to this effort on a monthly basis. And I just want to spend a moment to address the monthly pledge, the ongoing support, starting next month and beyond, just that can really make a huge difference. And those people who have been monthly donors to this effort don't even know they've been an answer to prayer, because we would not have been able to finish this campaign. We did not have time to go out and fundraise. Frankly, if you look at our budget, less than 1% of what we spent has anything to do with fundraising. We don't have time to do fundraising. We're too busy out there saving lives. And because of the faithfulness of this small group of people who have been donating monthly because of a pledge they made in the spring, we have been able to do what has blessed our country in so many amazing ways and our world. And I want to thank those people and also invite you to open your heart tonight to consider whether God is calling you to make a pledge of ongoing support. Because the one-time gifts are a huge shot in the arm for an event like this. They make a huge difference. But 3 months from now, 6 months from now, 9 months from now, we still have to be fighting this fight at the grassroots level. And as we've said, the local pro-life effort is more important than it has ever been before. And I believe we're on the cutting edge together. You and me, we're on the cutting edge of where this entire movement is having to move. If you turn your handout to page 13, there's a picture, once again, under the words monthly pledge. And I want you to look at this picture really closely, and I just want you to know what this is a picture of. You'll see a picture of a beautiful child sleeping in his little car carrier. And if you look closely out the window of the car there behind him, you see just the parts of the words, Presidential Women's Center. Well, this little baby boy, here's his story. A lady pulled up during this fall's 40 Days for Life in front of the prayer vigil that was being held during the 40 Days for Life outside of the Presidential Women's Center abortion facility in West Palm Beach, Florida. The mom opened up her window and she said to the people outside, "Don't know if you remember me, but a year ago you were here and you stopped me. And I want you to look in the back seat at my perfect baby." And she had named this little boy Seamus. And that picture you are looking at is a picture of a baby who was saved, a beautiful child made in the image and the likeness of God, who was saved during last fall's 40 Days for Life. And here his mother brings him out where people who participated last fall, who were out there again this fall, were able to meet that child with the backdrop of the abortion facility where he was scheduled to be aborted. And I want you to think about when that happens to you. I don't know whether it'll be a year from now. I don't know if it'll be 6 months from now. I don't know when it will be. But there will come a time, I believe, where you will have the satisfaction of knowing that the work you have done has saved the life of a child. Maybe it'll be the picture that we will have after the next 40 Days for Life campaign. Maybe it'll be a child that will be brought up to you in your community, and you'll get to meet someone who's alive because of your faithfulness. But due to your faithful support of this effort, children like Seamus and 613 others, actually since the last year, 1,028, are alive, and who knows how many more that we don't even know about, and how many countless thousands more will be able to be spared through our collective efforts as we move forward, and through your faithfulness if God is calling you to make ongoing pledge of support 3 months, 6 months, 9 months from now, continuing to be faithful. And the one struggle I used to have with this, Margaret and I, we used to always, like Sean mentioned, we had these preconceived numbers we would always come into fundraising events with, and we would limit what God wanted to do, and we would try to say, well, this is what we want to give, or this is what we're comfortable with, or what fits comfortably in our monthly budget. But are we really willing to trust God and erase the numbers from our minds and entrust our monthly finances to Him, the master of our lives, the author of life, creator of the universe? Are we willing to let go of some of the things that we may want so that through us He can do some of the things that He wants? Ongoing support is not always easy, but it's worth it when a woman is scared, doesn't know anywhere else to turn, and somebody praying outside of that abortion facility is there to offer her hope. It's worth it when a young person who's headed down the wrong path turns their life around because hearing about 40 Days for Life when his school group went out to participate in the campaign. It's worth it when a young woman experiences healing and forgiveness for a past abortion that she has had. It's worth it when an abortion facility closes, like the picture that Sean shared with you. It's worth it when you look at a child one day that is alive because of your faithfulness and your ongoing support. So I'd invite you right now, if you're on the handout page, you can click the link there that says Make Your Pledge Online. If you want to print out the form, you can certainly click that and download the form and mail it in. But if you click that link, or if you're listening on the webcast, you've got right in front of you there, or where you're listening to the recording, Make Pledge of Monthly Support. And when you click that link, go ahead and do that right now, and I'll show you what we're going to do, and then we will pray one last time before we start wrapping this up. When you click that, you go to a page that looks similar to the other one, where you can make various different monthly pledges of support. And you can do it as long as you want. We will annualize the number to double it based on the pledge that Carl was so kind to share with you tonight. But let's right now go to the Lord and let's pray and ask Him one more time what He would have us to do in terms of ongoing support in this effort over the long haul. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You for what You are doing tonight. And You tell us where two or more are gathered in Your name that You are in our midst. And tonight we have more than 2,300 people gathered together in Your name. And we know You are present. We know You have been present through this 40 Days for Life effort that has spared so many lives, has helped so many women and men and families, and brought so much hope. And we trust You as we move forward, not only in the 40 Days for Life campaigns in 2009, but also on these new efforts to educate, equip, and empower people. Dear Lord, guide every step that we make. Help it to be fruitful if it is Your will. If it is not, help us to fail quickly and move past it so we can get about doing Your business. And dear Lord, help us to discern right now the level of ongoing monthly support that You would have us to invest into this work so that it can continue to save lives in 2009 and in a long time after that. We ask this in the name of Your precious Son, who we entrust this entire effort to, Jesus Christ, and in His name we pray. Amen. All right.
Hey, David, this is Carl.
Hey, Carl.
I'd like to interrupt here for a second because I know we're way past the hour, and I'll make this quick, but I want to talk to those of you out there who are not yet you know, clicking in to make a gift. And I just want to say to you, okay, I'm Carl Brown, and I work for the Sanctity of Life Foundation. I do not make any money from the money that's being raised here tonight. And Carmen, none of us make any money on this. But I want to paint another picture in addition to the one that David shared with us of Seamus. It was unbelievable. I want to share with you guys that I met with David in his office, and we joked. You know, he said, come in, you can see the national headquarters of 40 Days for Life. And it's the corner of his bedroom. It's literally the corner in his bedroom. And, you know, and then as the evening went on, it became not just the national center of 40 Days for Life, but the global center of 40 Days for Life, and eventually it was the intergalactic center of 40 Days for Life. But it's being run out of his bedroom. And I want to share with you that we were meeting late at night. We literally had to kick his wife out of her bedroom so that David and I could do some work up until I think midnight, David. And another time, David and Sean and I were up and I think they had to kick us out of the hotel. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning, and one of you had to catch a flight at 5 o'clock the next day. The sacrifices that, especially that David and his family are making, and you know, he's got two kids, and I just want to make the appeal that we've got to make sure that those kids go to college. You know what I'm saying? And we need to honor the sacrifice that his wife Margaret is making. I'm just saying, you know, if you're still listening on this call and you're this far into it, you know, we are trying to. David is one of the most talented people I've ever met. He could very easily walk away from this and make $200,000 working for a big company. And right now, he could do that. And David, I hope you didn't hear me just in there, because I don't want you to do that.
I'm not leaving.
But he is at great personal sacrifice, making sure that this happens, and so he can ask you for money, and you can say, "Well, he's just asking because he needs to make a living." But I'm telling you, I don't need you to make the money. I don't need you to make this gift for my benefit. But I'm asking that if you would for David's benefit and for the benefit of his family, and so that we can grow this great little project of 40 Days for Life. So David, I'm sorry, I'm way off the schedule here, but I just felt like that needed to be said.
Carl,
thank you.
I appreciate
for the
that, and I appreciate your heart. And I think everybody kind of knows the drill here on the monthly pledge page. If you've gone through the webcast, make a pledge of monthly support, or if you have gone to it through the action guide handout, you're on the page where you can pick an amount that you feel called to invest as a monthly pledge. You can click it. You can fill in your information, and then process that is completely secure, and that information will be processed. And just to give you an idea, this is continuing to roll in. We have had so many more people. I'll name a few here in just a moment. Kathy in Massapequa, New York. I'm probably butchering the pronunciation. Margaret in Helena, Montana. Ruth in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Desiree in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Robert in Jacksonville, Florida. Howard in Detroit, Michigan. Nancy in Lansdale, Pennsylvania. Earl in Wildwood, Missouri. Ann in Gig Harbor, Washington. Mary Louise in Harleysville, Pennsylvania. Veronica in Safety Harbor, Florida. Dean and Evelyn in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Ed in Waverly, Nova Scotia, Canada. Honora in Katy, Texas. Christine in Phoenix, Arizona. Michael in Westlake, Ohio. Maria in Cypress, California. Leona in Goshen, Indiana. Bobby in Southlake, Texas. Wendy in Leesburg, Virginia. Cindy in Wayne, Ohio. If I left anybody out now, I'd feel guilty. Eileen in Scottsdale, Arizona. Margaret in Helena, Montana. Dana in Cincinnati, Ohio. Marie in Lincoln University, Pennsylvania. Ann in Ypsilanti, Michigan. Linda in Hugoton, Kansas. Paul in Clearwater, Florida. Veronica in Plano, Texas. Monica in Middleton, Wisconsin. Patty, Twin Falls, Idaho. Francis, Richmond, Virginia. Deborah in North Andover, Massachusetts. Patrick in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. George in Silver Spring, Maryland. Janet, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Mary in Dallas, Texas. Robin, Clearwater, Florida. Edward, Renton, Washington. Pamela in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Silver Spring, we have Virginia. We have Jeanette in Oviedo, Florida. We have
another Jeanette in Florence, Kentucky, Daniel in Ames, Iowa, Sandy in San Antonio, Texas, and they keep coming, and I just don't want to read names all night, but thank you, thank you, thank you. This is just amazing, and there are monthly pledges pouring in, there are one-time gifts pouring in, and again, everything you give as a result of this call tonight, your one-time gift, the annualized amount of your monthly pledge, and if you say, I can't give a big gift right now, $10 a month times 12 months can be a big gift that can really help to multiply. Maybe God has put on your heart to make a $100 a month pledge. That's $1,200. That becomes $2,400 tonight. You can double your return on investment. It's amazing. And I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you. I really believe that 2009 is the brightest, most hopeful year we have yet to look forward to in the pro-life movement. I can't wait to get started, and I'm looking forward to partnering with all of you and continuing to press on until no more children die, no more women cry, and abortion ends forever in America and throughout our world. Carmen, back to you.
Wow, David, I just have God bumps as you shared that list of people that have already responded. Obviously, you have caught the vision. You realize the urgency and the importance of what is going on with 40 Days for Life in America and the fight to end abortion. You see how these plans can help transform your community in America. Now we ask that you prayerfully discern your role for you and your community. Already, so many of you have decided to take action. You're making that one-time gift. You're making that pledge of ongoing support. We thank you so, so much. We want you to prepare for an exciting and hopeful 2009. One more thing we can ask for you to do tonight is to spread the word. Ask everyone you know to visit www.40daysforlife.com/hope. That's www.40daysforlife.com/hope. Before Friday. They can listen to the broadcast, the radio recording, or the recording that we've done tonight. They can be inspired as you have been inspired. They, too, will have opportunity to prayerfully discern how they can get involved. Finally, we just hope that you will, along with us, look forward to the future with hope. Remember Jeremiah 29:11. We know that the Lord does say, I know the plans I have for you. Plans for good, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we just once again thank you for your presence this evening. We are excited about the work you are doing to end abortion in America and around the world. And Lord, we are humbled that you would ask us to get involved in this work. And so Lord, we just pray that you would continue to work in our hearts and our minds to strengthen our resolve to stand with you, focus on you, your purposes and your plans, so that together we can be strengthened and be unified as one in the body of Christ to be a part of your work in ending abortion once and for all. We thank you once again for the many who have joined this event tonight and who have already made pledges. And Lord, we pray you'll bless them, bless their families. We thank you for David B. Wright and for his leadership. Pray that you'll bless him and his family. Thank you for Carl and for Sean and their good work and all of those who work behind the scenes to make 40 Days for Life a reality. And Lord, in it all, we give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for joining us this evening. We pray that the Lord will continue to bless you where you are so that you can make a difference and help us in this fight to end abortion. Thank you.
Carmen, I just wanted to jump in here. This is David B. Wright one more time just to name a few more people and also had a couple quick questions, and I wanted to give my email address so those who have questions that don't have a chance to get answered can contact me. Let me do that right here. If you have a question related to making a gift, somebody asked, we made a monthly pledge at the spring call. How do we update that if we want to renew it here? Email me personally. You can send it to david@40daysforlife.com, david@40daysforlife.com, and that will get to me, and we will be able to address your specific situations. Also, I just want to thank Peggy in Houma, Louisiana. I want to thank Mary Beth in Safety Harbor, Florida. I want to thank Roberto in College Station, Texas, where this all began, Bryan College Station. I want to thank James in Zillionople, Pennsylvania. I want to thank Mary in Colorado Springs, Colorado. John in Singapore. Wow, thank you, John. Susan in Oakland, California. Mary in Sioux City, Iowa. Mary Ellen in Port Charlotte, Florida. Veronica in Plano, Texas. Leslie in Charleston, South Carolina. Carol Marie in Tahoe City, California. Kathleen in Marlboro, Massachusetts, Josetta in Rockford, Illinois, Marty in Little Rock, Arkansas, and again, they are still coming in. I've tried to hit all the ones that came in that last batch. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. If you have a question, email it to me, david@40daysforlife.com, and let's press forward and let's finish the job that God has begun, and let's get this work done in 2009 and beyond. God bless you. Thank you, everybody. Have a wonderful night, and we look forward to an exciting next few months.